Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby.
How do you build a successful business that actually has huge impact on the people that you're serving? That's what we're going to be talking about today in the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where we have an extremely talented and successful business leader in Shireen Hilal. Shireen, great to be with you today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you and your guests.
You know, it's interesting, Shireen, you've had the ability to build Myor Consultants, and it's really exploded into a very successful business. And you've addressed some specific needs that were missing in the consulting industry. And maybe could you highlight that for us and what got you into serving this community?
Yeah, great question. So I started my career, as you know, in law. I practiced for 10 years as a litigator myself. And then I left and went into operations and strategy. And I first went to BDO, then KPMG, then I was the COO of a law firm, and finally built the growth division of a communications consulting firm. Along the way, I kept seeing my colleagues and friends leaving these larger enterprises and starting their own businesses, right? As they often do. Mm-hmm. And as their businesses were growing, they would often come back and ask me, you know, Shireen, you're doing this for a big law firm or a big consulting firm. What advice do you have for me? And so what I finally figured out was these firms don't have a great option, professional services in general. And if you're not going to hire an enterprise level executive, which of course you don't need if you're, for example, a 25 person shop or even a 100 person shop, you know, the options out there for help, just they're not great. And I was tired of watching firms settle for good enough. Too often, consultants deliver strategies that sound amazing on paper, but they sit on a shelf. They don't translate to results. They don't tactically manage the execution. And they don't account for the people who have to actually live through the changes. And so the difference is, I've had to walk the walk, right? I've been inside of these places running and pivoting their various departments and building it. And so I know there's a better way. Myor means bigger in Latin. And I use that name for a reason. We push firms to think bigger, but we push bold ideas with practical execution. Because the truth is, big goals need grounded plans.
I love that. A couple of things you just pointed out there real quick. Recently, we had Michael Gerber on the podcast.
And amazing.
Michael wrote the book, The E-Myth, that you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. And Michael was addressing some of the things exactly that you had talked about, Shireen, when he said that you really, entrepreneurs, they find a pain and then they solve, or a problem, and then they solve that problem. But then you used a word here, and I hope everyone listens so closely to this word. When I go into businesses, whether it be a law firm or a bit plumbing business, whatever business it might be, Shireen, the word I want to highlight that you said is execution. Because what I see all the time is so many firms hire. I've seen firms hire a $30,000 consultant to come in for a few hours, right? And then they give this great plan. And then there's no execution. Great. There are so many good companies out there that lack execution, which could take them to a great company.
Well, and the truth is, we all know what to do at a high level, right? It's the same as I can tell you how to get a six pack tomorrow, put down the fork and get on the treadmill. But so why isn't it easy to get it, right? Because it isn't easy. And the truth is, you have to build it in a way that works for the person that actually has to live with it, right? And so it's about figuring out, it's actually an interesting analogy as I'm thinking it through, because it's about a lifestyle, not a diet, right? And getting firms to change things in a sustainable way that fits their needs in a comfortable way.
Okay, so let's unpack that just for a moment, because I've heard the founder of Ring Doorbell, you know, say that the reason why his product was so successful was because people were already moving their finger towards the doorbell. And so what he did is he just simply added on to what they were already doing, which he believes enabled his success, because he said, had he put a camera up above the door and you had to pull a string or something like that, you know, something ridiculous like that, then his success would have been minimal. But because people were already starting to move their finger that direction. So Shereen, is that how you inspire execution? Because execution is what's keeping people from experiencing the level of success that so many of your clients enjoy.
Yeah, I think that's a great example, because you can use it on a lot of levels. And so in the way we're speaking about it, the way I help firms, there is no perfect method or technology, right? The right method is the one that your people will actually use. And so I think a lot of times consultants forget, it's not that there's some perfect way, it's there's a way that works for this group. And so if you're building something that doesn't account for this particular team's strengths and weaknesses, of course it's going to fall flat. It's also stay iterative and keep working on it. I think there's also a fallacy that you're sort of searching high and low for this utopia, and then all the air gets let out of the balloon when you don't reach it in a single step. Right. And instead, why not start as a pilot program, test, iterate, and then roll it out further. But even bigger, I think the point here is you have to meet the market where it is. And so that also goes for anybody I'm working with on their growth strategy. I can't tell you how many firms, I was literally sitting, I had very similar conversations. I was in a law firm executive committee meeting, and a couple months later, I was at an accounting firm advisory committee meeting, and they both did very similar things. They put up on screen, here's all the services we offer. Here's all the stuff we could do. Where should we be going? And the first question I asked both of them was, have you asked your clients? What do they need? Because instead of trying to create demand around something, why don't you meet the market? It's easier.
It's amazing, Shereen, how much your clients will tell you if you just simply ask them.
Yes.
And so if we could just book in this discussion we're talking about on execution, because so many people listening are leaders or entrepreneurs or people that are really having impact, trying to inspire others to take action. And when I say take action, it's that execution piece. So when you come into an organization, whether it be an accounting firm, law firm, whatever it might be, and the leader says, I'm having trouble with my team or my leaders executing, what's some of the first things you tell them?
I mean, I first want to talk to everybody and figure out from their point of view, what do you need to be successful? What's holding you back? And so whether that is a real roadblock or a perceived roadblock almost doesn't matter. It's what's in that person's mind and it's holding them back. It doesn't mean we're going to necessarily be able to deliver on that thing. For example, if it's, I need a 10-person team, I can't promise that I'm going to convince your boss to do that. But at least understanding where's the gap and what do both sets of people think they need to do to bridge it? And how do we get there? And how do we maybe even recraft the goal to be something more realistic for everybody? I find a lot of times goals aren't met because they aren't great goals.
What do you mean by that? Share more.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a variety of things, from you don't have an awareness of what's going on in the market around you. And so I'll give a very easy and simple example. If we're in a high interest rate environment, thinking that my M&A department is going to be gangbusters this year is just, I'm setting myself up for failure, right? I mean, that is not where we're going to see a lot of market momentum, but where you might see it is in bankruptcy or right? Mm-hmm. So how are you shifting, again, to meet the market? What is your team able to execute, and what have they executed in the past? And have you looked at your clients and taken their feedback and thought about how that folds into your future goals to both sustain current revenue and increase your revenue? And so if you can look and see where they're going and meet them, that's where you're going to get goals that are layups instead of long shots.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, Shireen, that goes along with something that we've touched on in an earlier podcast where we've talked about the number one characteristic of successful leaders. In fact, they interviewed the top 700 successful CEOs in America, and they really went to locate the number one characteristic of their success. And oddly enough, and I thought it would be driven, focus, all of the above, work ethic, but it was self-awareness, which really surprised me, but perhaps doesn't surprise you, you know, because self-awareness, really being aware of what the market is doing, how you're impacting the team, all of the above.
Yeah. And that's a great one to pick, because how many leaders go down to the front lines and speak with their employees to find out what's really happening?
Right.
So perfect example. I was in a law firm this fall. They had a very bad accounts receivable balance. One of the first questions I asked, what are your people in billing saying? Why are clients pushing back? I don't know. We haven't asked them.
Whoa. Great.
I would maybe start there, right? I mean, get down and talk to your people. Small iterative changes are usually the ones that are resonant, achievable, and make the biggest difference.
Oh, that's such an important insight. Just taking that time. Now, by the way, also, Shireen, when they do that, think of the buy-in that happens from the AR department. I mean, when the leader comes in and says, hey, what's going on? What are some of the pushback that you're receiving? You know, I heard I'm located in Rigby, Idaho, in this very small town of 5,000 people. Okay. And their football team goes over to Boise and wins state every year. And everyone's like, they ask the coach, what is it? Why are you so successful? You're from nowhere, Rigby, Idaho. And he said, one of the comments he made was, going faster doesn't mean you're making progress. And I was like, whoa, what do you mean? Because the leader of that accounting or that law firm could have been saying, come on, we got to move faster, get more billing, get more billing, get more billing. And he's trying to move faster, but he doesn't even know why they're not collecting the way they hoped.
Right. And to your point on buy-in, can you imagine how demoralizing it is to have to make these calls, asking clients to pay? I mean, there's nothing more depressing. And meanwhile, having someone from the boardroom pushing on you, go faster, do more, get more in the door. And meanwhile, it's, do you even understand what I'm hearing on these calls?
Right. Right. That is so critical. You know, Shireen, this is an interesting example, because years ago, I was head of business development for a software company that was one of the very early CRMs in the space, okay? One of those early client relationship management tools. And we were doing about $100 million in revenue, and it was pretty exciting. But I was in biz dev, and I was out on the front lines talking to people. And I talked to the CEO, and he'd be like, oh, we're crushing the market. We own the market. I'm like, yeah, but we're getting some competition. So we may need to innovate on some areas. He's like, no, we're good. We're good. I promise you, we're good. I'm like, well, there's this other company called HubSpot. They're up and coming. We're fine. And there were other companies that we had mentioned, and no. And the whole executive team was like, no, we're good. We're good. And HubSpot's doing very well. And this CRM company just sold for very little amount of money. And so the point is taking the time to really hear what the people are saying is so critical. so critical to success.
And it's funny how few businesses, I mean, I obviously deal with professional services firms, so I'm dealing with like PR agencies, law firms, accounting firms, but any business don't ask for feedback from their clients. And I mean, if you didn't win the pitch, ask why.
Right.
In the first few weeks of the engagement, pick up the phone and ask, how is it going? Do you like our communication cadence? Are there any questions you have? Be proactive. When the engagement's over, do you have any feedback or suggestions for us? Also, this is your time to ask, what made us special? That's your differentiators. Quit putting the corporate platitudes on your website, like good service, and actually put stuff that resonates with your clients, like they're agile and nimble because they're small. Great. Now you have a real differentiator, not quote great service, which we all say that, right?
Right. Right. But really understanding where your prospects, the people that need your service, what they're coming from, what they're thinking, what's in their mindset. So when you come into an organization, is there often a large disconnect from the leadership to the people that are on, you know, boots on the ground, and then the clients?
I would say there's a caveat here. I think any firm that hires me is pretty forward thinking, to be honest.
Sure.
They're sure. willing to understand that they need someone to come in who's really going to shake it up and isn't afraid to push them. And so that is a firm that by its nature cares a lot about things like their employees. Now, that doesn't always mean they know everything going on, right? But I will say the mindset is there for the most part. You know, you definitely get some, my people don't care enough, or they're not doing enough. I think that's normal. I think it's also resetting the expectations. And look, I get it. Part of what makes this easier, I'm also a business owner.
Right.
No, who's going to love your baby the way you love your baby? It's, you have to create a compelling value proposition for your employees that works for them the way you have a compelling value proposition that keeps you running your business instead of saying, forget it, I'm just going to go get a W-2 job tomorrow, right?
Right. Right. But Shireen, you said something at the beginning of this podcast that I just want to reiterate, and that connects to your journey for a moment. And I hope everyone listening for a moment realizes that you graduate from college, you go on to law school,
right?
And then you practice law, and then you start, the next step is you start helping other people with their firms, as you have identified certain loopholes and challenges that you face personally?
Yeah. You know, for me, I felt litigation. And look, the way I practiced litigation was in the AmLaw 100. And so litigation is an awfully blunt instrument for change to begin with.
Sure.
But if you're in big law, I mean, I had cases that I started as a first year associate, where 10 years in, we were up to opt out litigation on the same cases. I mean, this is not there is no speedy justice. It is a very slow moving path. It's an important path, but for me, I've always felt very itchy. I move very fast and I like things I like momentum. So I also was that lawyer that was digging into my client issues and sort of cared a little more about the business side and would say, but can't we prevent this? What if we change the contract language? And can I talk to the person in procurement? And, you know, that doesn't really win you more litigation work when you're sort of fixing the root of the problems. So that's when I realized, I think I just need to be on the business side. And for me, it was important to stay in professional services because that's what I knew, but to leave law first, because law is a little further behind. And so I said, I'm going to go into big consulting first, And then I ended up back as the COO of a law firm, but with a lot more best practice under my belt.
Well, and the reason why I want to emphasize this, Shireen, is because you have this growth mindset. So many people would, if they'd paid the price to go through law school, paid the price to pass the bar exam, paid the price to get where you are, so many people would say, okay, I've done so much. I'm kind of here. I'm kind of stuck where I am right now. But here you've had this growth mindset and felt more like what you've done has actually propelled you to the next stage, the next chapter of your career. So if somebody's sitting in a job right now or sitting in a business right now where they're going, I've done so much work to get where I am now, I really don't really want to turn the page and start the next chapter, because most people would have been very content with your job at KPMG, right? Like, most people would have been like, I'm good right here. So how have you been able to feed that growth mindset, which energizes you? And those that have the privilege and opportunity to sit down with you, you have such great energy and excitement for life in general. You're always excited. You're always engaged. And I believe it's because you have that growth mindset and that drive. So how does someone that may be struggling with it, how do they capture that and then really emphasize it so they can get to their next chapter and continue to grow? So they can get to
their next. It's a good question. I think it partly just comes down to personality. I hear it a lot. I hear people feeling, I don't know if you play poker, but feeling a bit pot committed on what they've, meaning like what I've already put in the pot. Now I feel like I'm stuck here.
Sure.
Look, you get one life. There's no dress rehearsal. Like, this is it.
And right? So
at a certain point, you just have to ask yourself, how do I really want to spend it? And I will tell you, probably the move that was scariest for me was leaving big law and taking the first job in operations, right? Because I was kind of dabbling on the side and doing it, I didn't have an official role doing it. And so I took a pay cut. I mean, big law pays well. And I took a pay cut. But what's the money going to do if I'm not happy? And I very quickly got back there and made more. And so if you're doing what you love, I think that's the other piece. It's contagious. And whether it is building your business, getting the clients in, having the passion and enthusiasm, there's just no substitute for it. People want to work with people who are bullishly optimistic on getting it done, working with them, seeing results. And so if you don't feel that way and you're wondering why you're sort of at a plateau, I mean, people pick up on your energy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? You sit back but you truly, really find what you're looking for. Like, you really, I know it's things that we heard from our parents or we've heard for years, but if you are seeking those opportunities and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I really don't want to become complacent. I want a growth mindset. You know, given the timing of the year, it's great to have these discussions to where, you know what, there are certain things I want out of life. There are certain things that I want to accomplish. And you start getting clear on those things. It's amazing, Shireen, how those things open up before you. Because, you know, you sat back and you're like, you know what, I think there's more. I think I can contribute more. I think I can have greater impact. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in a position where you're having that greater impact.
Well, and I think what's hard for people is walking away from something that is lucrative or safe or comfortable.
Sure.
I think what people forget is, if it's not working, just change it again.
Right?
Like, who's to say that if you choose this path, now this is the path, then you must stick to it? Says who?
You know, it's interesting. I heard a story one time of an individual who was trying to decide which path. They were out somewhere, you know, in wilderness, somewhere driving off road, and they picked the right road instead of the left one. And they drove about a mile and it was a dead end. So they went back and they went the other way. And the individual asked him and said, are you frustrated that we drove to the right first? And he goes, no, because now I know that was a dead end. And so I can keep moving forward. And so you are going to have dead ends. In fact, one of the things, and we'll end with this, Shireen, is that so many people think, they look at your successful life. They look at, oh my goodness, everything she turns to gold. Because as you share all that you've done, and as young as you are, people sit back and go, oh my goodness, she's done what 10 people would appreciate as a successful career, right? You've done all these different things. But the reality is they've also had challenges. So what do you do, Shireen, to continue through and push through the challenges?
I guess I just think there's always a way. I don't know if that's a great answer, but I think I learned that actually in Big Law. There's no more rigorous environment than having to work until like 2 a.m. every night. You walk into a partner's office, they interrogate you on every footnote, tell you it's not good enough. And I mean that in a positive way. It's just really learn that if you say there's a wall, the answer back to you is going to be, did you try to go around the wall? Did you try to go over the wall? Did you build a tunnel under the wall? Are you sure there's a wall? And you're like, it's just a relentless pursuit of wanting more and just pushing through.
I love that.
I can tell you the biggest challenge I had in building this business at the start was shifting from a corporate executive working for others. You know, I was used to executing within boundaries.
Sure.
And now there aren't any. And the biggest thing I had to find comfort in was saying things in my own voice and doing things the Shireen way.
Right.
And so I think sometimes I didn't realize, and I now see it in my clients, business owners of small to medium sized businesses, I think sometimes forget that the advantage is not this corporate shield or facade. It's you, right? It's the power of the person. And so for example, like it's okay not to have a website filled with corporate platitudes and pictures of people drawing on whiteboards. People connect with people. And so for me, it's I had to realize people are hiring me because they love my passion and they've seen the results I've achieved. They don't want a small version of McKinsey.
Right, right. That's exactly right. I love that. I love that phrase. There's always a way. You know, when, you know, as an entrepreneur, my wife and I, Cassie and I have experienced some incredible successes and some epic failures.
Oh, I'm
right. Sure. And we've been in every tax category possible, right, Shireen? Like you make tremendous amount. You know what it's like to make a tremendous amount of money. You know what it's like to not. And so
right.
You have these ups and downs. So ironically, I turned to Cassie not long ago and I said, Cassie, when we were in some really tough spots, when we had started a couple businesses that had failed, we were in some tough spots. I said, how did you have the mindset? Because we have 9 kids, Shireen. And so I was like, we had 9 kids and we had not, you know, there were so many different roller coasters we've been on.
Yeah.
And Cassie said this, she said, you know what? Even when we were in the depths of despair, I never thought it was permanent. I never believed it was permanent. I just thought, okay, this is where we are now, but we're not going to be here forever. And when you said there's always a way, it's reminded that of me. There's always a way. And Cassie was saying there's always a way to get where you need to be.
So I think I'm a little lucky. I don't know if Cassie has a similar story of her own or her own flavor of it. But I think for me, as we're talking about it, I'm realizing. So my mom grew up in a tiny farming village in Pakistan.
Wow.
She was the youngest of 9 children.
Wow.
No running water, no electricity. She went to school under a tree.
Wow.
And I'm skipping several steps here. Ended up a surgeon in America. And so whenever I think something seems hard, I mean,
that's amazing.
Get out from under your tree and figure right? it out. You know, and she went back and actually built the first running water system for that town. At that point, they finally had electricity, but like, get out from under your tree and leave things better than you found them, right?
Oh my goodness. Yes. That is amazing. That is an amazing, inspiring story. And what?
How can I not? I mean, how?
Oh my goodness.
Not your mom. How do you tell yourself it's hard to move from being a lawyer to going into operations?
Right?
I mean, right? Really?
Wow. What an incredible story. Shireen, you are so inspiring. No wonder you're so successful with everybody that you work with. Is it, what's the best way, Shireen, for people to reach out to you? Is it through social media, LinkedIn?
LinkedIn. I am active there. It's Shireen Halal. You can also find me on my website, MaiorConsultants.com. And Maior is M-A-I-O-R.
Awesome. Shireen, great being with you. Love the insights. You inspire so many. Thank you for being here. Have a tremendous day. All right. Bye now.